Okay. Yes, all right. Back. Fish and Frank in the chair. Following my nervous breakdown. And the IRS is gone. Which is good news, man. I got a clean bill of health from the IRS.
That's awesome.
Yeah, after forensic auditing. I got to tell you, I didn't even know how far back they were going on me. Holy cow.
Deep.
Yeah, they went. I mean, it wasn't cheap, but they're done. So, anyway. So, hopefully now we're going to be back on schedule and get all kinds of stuff. Fish and Frank in the chair here. Robert in the chair across from me. Hopefully my nervous breakdown is over. I don't think there's a thing in the world scarier than the U.S. government. I mean, I can't imagine anything scarier.
North Korean government?
Maybe. Maybe.
Well, actually, no, I'd say the U.S., because I guess North Korean, you kind of know where they're coming from. They're just going to kill you.
Yeah, you know.
these are gonna just, like, pull a leg off at a time, like, you know, a little kid with his first little science kit.
Yeah, pulling the legs off of ants. That's more government style, you know. They won't just kill you, they'll torture you for a while. All right, anyway, but back to the fishing. Fishing reports. I guess, Robert and I, what's been kind of going on general fishing-wise, Robert?
It's a lot of changes going on right now, which is cool. I mean, October is always a killer month. I mean, even though the rains are subsiding, everyone expects it to all of a sudden be great because of that, but it takes a long time for that sheet flow to slow down, you know, even though the rains cut way back. But every day, the salt is creeping in just a little bit more, and then the temperatures are dropping, so you're getting a lot of new wintertime species are starting to just pop up here and there. You know, they're not consistent by any stretch, but they're pleasant surprises for the day's catch while you're out there targeting main species, like your redfish right now. A lot of guys are fishing for those.
Okay, I'm almost half ready for you. Let's go to the 41 Bridge. What's going on?
The 41 Bridge, there's been a fair amount of tarpon in the early mornings and the evenings, and then basically throughout the whole night. The snook activity's been hit or miss. When they're doing, they're doing well, but most of them are on the smaller, undersized guys. And then I've been getting some mixed reports of redfish throughout the week and black drum, too. So, you know, it's just, we're at that funky time, so every day is kind of a roll of the dice. You're either gonna do a pretty good hit on them or be exceptionally mediocre.
All right. Well, I'm gonna follow my thing down because I'm gonna try and get a written report here while we're doing this. Alligator Creek, that area down there.
Alligator Creek.
Are the tarpon still outside Alligator Creek?
Yeah, they've been out there sporadically. Main thing is look for birds or ladyfish, and they're in that slurping pattern right now. But if you can get a bigger bait in there, like a ladyfish or some of those new big swim baits.
Yeah, that new Savage. Yeah,
the new Savage, you know, or the Spooltex, any of those larger baits are going to be.
I keep forgetting about the Spooltex. You caught your tarpon in Spooltex.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the one thing that's going on with the Savage is tons of hookups, hard to get anything to land.
Really?
We're
going
to have to figure out some other hook set up for the Savage. They hit it, they love it, but they throw it.
Really?
Yeah, they're throwing it. And so we're going to have to come up with something on that. I don't know how, but we're going to play with that. I got a lot of goals set up for very soon. Doesn't mean I'll reach any of them.
We'll
but back to Alligator Creek.
We'll have to play with that bridle rig like you were talking about.
Yeah. So back to Alligator Creek.
There's been some juvenile tarpon inside the creek. A couple small snook in there, but mostly it's been some jacks and a lot of redfish right at the entrance. You know, and they're catching, you know, the jacks and the redfish are hitting shrimp pretty well. The early morning topwater bite's been incredible this whole past week. A lot of guys coming and picking up topwater stuff. And then also live pinfish and cut pinfish have been working real well on those redfish down there. Just about everywhere, actually, for the redfish. That's kind of a standard thing going on right now. Some of the bigger schools, you're hitting them on sardines and cut ladyfish also. So
okay.
Play with cut bait a lot.
So, going out to the reef. Any reports on the reef? We haven't.
It's been pretty quiet. There's been some Spanish on it. Like, I've heard a couple mixed reports on Spanish, but they're still following that incoming tide and then boogieing right back out once that tide changes again. You know, but I think every day it's worth taking a look at, just not dedicating a ton of time to.
Yeah. All right. Let's see. Coming over to Bayshore Pier. If I was going to do Bayshore, I would go out about 30 feet on the pier and cast back at the shoreline for some redfish.
Yeah.
They're going to be from the shoreline out 20, 30 feet. I'd just kind of work that whole area, especially some topwaters in the morning, see if they're going to find them.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else going on there?
There's been a few small tarpon there, and then they've actually been doing still fairly well on a lot of juvenile or undersized bull sharks. You know, they're like right in that 3-foot range. But almost every one of them are bull sharks, so don't get confused with it being a black tip.
I wonder what brings them up this time of year.
Honestly, I think they're just getting to that size where they can start feeding on a lot of other things, and there's less larger sharks around to feed on them, so they kind of hang out up here.
Because it seems like the bull sharks in the spring, we get a lot more black tips, a lot more this, that, and the next thing over there at Bayshore. And then once the weather starts cooling, it seems like that's when the bull sharks come up every year around, you know, late September or October, depending on the weather patterns.
I think they're just a lot more freshwater tolerant than those other sharks.
Oh, yeah, they've had bull sharks all the way up to Illinois on the Mississippi, so.
Yep, 2,500 miles up the Amazon.
So, all right, go over to Boquilla, Jug Creek Shoals.
Well, that's one of those areas that's getting that really cool October pattern where you go there one day and you're catching a couple pompano, a couple flounder, some redfish, some snook, kind of a mixed bag, but every day is a little different, you know, but it's been, that whole immediate area around there has been a good hodgepodge of fish. The bait's been a little tough, but there's a lot of pinfish out there, so if you want to get pinfish to go out, that's working pretty well.
Yeah.
I mean, pinfish by far turning on. It's that time of year where the fish want to build up a fat reserve, and those pinfish are a real good meaty substance for fish getting ready to winter. So they're feeding heavy on those and starting to kind of ignore the white bait a little bit more.
Yeah, easiest way to find them, throw a shrimp out.
Yeah, exactly.
Throw a lot of shrimp out. Okay, throw some chum, grab a bunch of pinfish.
Exactly, little piranhas.
Yeah, you can feel
that. You said it. They got 3 feet long, you never, ever get in the water.
No. Pinfish are another one of those. I mean, I've watched them. They chase bigger fish out. One pinfish by himself is cool, but you put 2-3 together, it's like an
instant mob mentality.
Gang, you know what I mean? All of a sudden, they're just going to gang up and beat up on everything.
Yeah, they're terrifying.
Let's head over to Bull Bay, Turtle Bay.
Out in front of Bull Bay and Turtle Bay has been incredible. There have been some really nice redfish and snook cruising on just along the outside edge there. In the main channel going into Bull Bay, there's been some mangrove snappers starting to fill back in there just a little tiny bit. Still quite a few redfish following that trough on the backside of Kaopalau. And then the bar just inside Turtle Bay on the left of the entrance there, got some really nice big bull reds in there. And those guys are hitting cut ladyfish, cut sardines, pinfish. So by far your best bet for those things. I haven't heard of much way up inside. I think it's still just a little bit too much fresh water trickling through there, but it's worth taking a look if you're kind of messing around, just trying to kill some time and looking and scouting around.
Okay. And let's see. Cape Hayes Reef, anything?
Just some Spanish mackerel on that incoming tide, and there has been a few tarpon showing up right there in that immediate vicinity because I guess there's been some ladyfish milling around in there too. Other than that, no snapper or anything else that I've heard of. Not with consistency, anyhow.
Okay. Cape Hayes. What's going on in Cape Hayes?
Cape Hayes is loaded with pinfish. Been a few bonnet heads on there. An occasional pompano. And an occasional flounder. You know, that's one of those weird transition spots, so it's been kind of hit or miss.
In the deep holes in the harbor, it's been kind of a weird bag because there are some bigger redfish there, and not redfish, some larger tarpon.
Larger tarpon, yeah. You look for the birds, look for some pompano, or, Jesus, how am I doing? We're both doing good today. Look for the birds, look for the ladyfish. There's a lot of little bait fish out there, so they're slurping on those little bait fish. It's just a matter of them seeing your bait, so that's why those larger baits are working better. Try to cover all areas of the water column, and if you can drift or even do a real slow troll, I think you'll pick up some fish. It's just not gangbusters, but working at it fairly good, it wouldn't surprise me to hook 3 or 4 fish in a day, which for this time of year and as scattered as they are, that's pretty impressive.
Well, that's impressive any time of year.
Yeah.
We did kind of an update on the tarpon maps. There are some fish along the east side. I mean, from Alligator Creek all the way down to Two Pines, but you got to look for them.
Yeah, even all the way down to Mount Lachey.
Yeah, you go down, you look out in the middle of the harbor, you cruise the east side, you cruise the middle of the harbor. You just got to kind of look around a lot. There really isn't, okay, go here, yeah. But if it's calmer, I'd be looking out in the middle of the harbor. If it's a little more bumpy, I'd be working at east side trying to find something. And the key is, like you say, I would say start off with a white curly tail on one little normal trout rod because you're looking for ladyfish. Start trolling a curl tail on one side and a storm twitch on the other side. And just kind of idle along until you smack a ladyfish with one. As soon as the rod goes off, just put the boat to neutral and start casting and catch, you know, 4 or 5 ladyfish. And then have your big tarpon rods there, put about a 5-6 foot leader on one of them and tie a balloon or a large float to right above the leader, junk it out the boat. And the best ideas seem to be being closer to the bar and casting out from the bar if the tide will allow it. If the tide doesn't allow that, then you're going to have to go out and cast towards the bar, but you want to be casting, figure it about 5 feet from your bobber to your bait. So if that case, you want to be out in 6 feet of water or right. Better, you're casting to 6 feet of water. You don't want to be casting up into that 4 feet with that big long leader on there.
Well, and that's where most of those fish are at anyhow. Mm-hmm. They haven't been up in that shallower stuff. They're hanging in that 6 to 6 feet and better. So I think you're right on with that.
All right. As long as we're over there, what's going on the east side of the harbor?
Redfish are the main game right now. I mean, there's redfish literally scattered on the bar, around the little islands. I'm not hearing as much as back in the islands a little a ways, but like right at the entrance of the coves.
They're back there.
That's what I was just going to ask you, because you went out with your father.
Dad and I went out, and we caught redfish outside of the islands, between the islands. We fished for about 3 hours, and I think we caught 6 redfish, 3 snook, a couple of catfish. The biggest dad, I'm sure, would have broke the world record on bonnet sharks. But I wasn't thinking of it. Dad didn't even say anything till afterwards, and I wasn't thinking about it. That bonnet shark was so heavy, I had a hard time picking him up.
That's impressive.
I'm thinking over 20 pounds. And because you know how slender they usually are?
Yeah.
I actually thought it was a little bull shark coming up.
Really?
Yeah.
That's awesome. I would love to have seen that.
When I saw the shark, I'm thinking small bull shark, because that's what I expected to be back there.
Right.
And took Dad around the boat, under the anchor, around, you know, here and there, and he finally gets it up by the boat, and I'm looking, going, that's a bonnet. And it was big enough, I knew I could not hold it with my left hand the way I normally would and take the hook out. I ended up removing the hook while the fish was in the water instead of bringing it up for pictures, just because it was a little more than what I knew I could handle. And
that's saying something for a bonnet head.
Yeah, I'm biggest one I've ever seen, and you know, I think I cost my dad a world record. You know, oh well, sorry, Dad. But you know, a lot of fish around the islands, everywhere else.
Yeah, and there's a lot of little chicken snook out there. Not too much legal stuff, but a lot.
I didn't catch a legal one, but we caught 3, and the smallest one I think was 10 inches. The biggest one was probably 25.
There you go. So, I mean, it's been good over there. The only thing that's pretty much invisible over there is trout, except for an occasional little guy.
Yeah, we didn't catch any trout the other day, but we caught everything on shrimp.
Nice.
Didn't, and I mean, I don't know what anybody's thinking. Oh, well, you don't catch these fish on shrimp, and it's ridiculous, because in 3 hours, we caught a lot of, you know, quite a few fish, and that's, right. And we moved around. We were out in front of one, and we went back, and we went between some cuts, and, you know, but it was getting between the cuts of the islands, and, you know, stopping where the water was flowing through,
right.
And casting into them. Had huge storms coming across, and it's funny how many people don't know, they don't remember duck and cover.
Right.
You know, I mean, we learned this in school, duck and cover. You know, obviously it doesn't work in a nuclear blast, but it does work great in a storm.
Right.
And there was all these boats out there in the flats. They saw the storm coming, and they all were trying to run, or they stayed at anchor. Well, you go around behind the island, tie the front and back to the mangrove trees, get in as close as you can on the leeward side, you know, so the wind, the island will break the wind. And we're sitting there with a light rain. Well, it was heavy rain, but it wasn't impacting us because it was just the rain, gravity falling on that side of the island. Literally 8 feet off the back of the boat, it was blowing, I would say, gusting close to 30, and just driving rain and everything else. And we're just sitting there fine. You know, we fished out the, you know, storm. And I carry a hooded raincoat with me and put my hat over the top of the raincoat. And bent over a little bit. Now, one of the tricks I use is I take one of those, the life jackets,
yeah,
and just put one side of the life jacket on the seat, you know, because it's kind of rounded.
Yeah.
Because if you sit on anything flat, the water puddles up and your butt gets soaked.
Right.
You know, and I had jean shorts on, and that's always a nightmare.
Yes.
So if you sit on one side of a life jacket like that, there's no rain build up there.
Right.
So you don't get a wet butt, because Dad has the pants and the jacket, and I just usually carry the jackets.
Yeah.
But other than that, it was great. We had a good time out there. Everything worked well. I will say those little dry boxes we bought from that we got the Flambeau.
Yeah.
Those are great because it fit my cell phone and some other nicotine essentials in that. And that was all good. And I didn't think, you know, I've got my cell phone in there, I got a lighter, I got an extra pack in there, everything's all good. And guess where my wallet was?
In your back pocket.
In my pocket, yeah. So I stood up after, and we got caught. You know how this one cloud comes over? You're sitting there, it's beautiful out, nothing going on at all, and then you get this one cloud, and it's not even that dark.
All of a sudden it just drops.
Yeah, it's like, what is this? There's no, you can look around, there isn't rain for anywhere. And then right over the top of you, here's this cloud, just rains like heck. That's where I got wet. Because I didn't have my jacket on, because I didn't see it coming.
Right.
And just annoying. I can't, you know, everything was going on great. And, you know, I stayed dry through the whole 30-mile-an-hour wind thing, all that other stuff. And then this one cloud opened up on us. So, anyway.
Damn it.
Yeah, darn it.
Whoops. Not good. I don't like when that happens.
If two guys are fishing, one uses a float and the other one free line or a split shot or a jig head. But you want to have one on the bottom and one up on a bobber moving around, because Dad was hitting nicer redfish on the bottom, and he had a quarter ounce sinker and, you know, the hook on there, bottom fishing there on the flats. And he was getting nicer redfish, but I was catching more fish underneath the float, and he got the bonnet off the float. But we were mixing it up from bottom to floats.
Okay.
But yeah, you really need to kind of mix match that.
Catch any snapper back there?
A couple little ones.
Nothing to write home about.
I didn't catch a legal one, but yeah, we probably caught 3 or 4 snapper. Forgot about that.
Okay.
But I probably could have caught a lot more, but I'd throwing in there, and I was being stubborn and putting on live shrimp. And finally, when I ripped the shrimp in half and thread the hook through the tail,
right,
threw it out there, and I started catching them just to see how big they were.
Okay. Yeah, I was just curious because I haven't heard many reports over there, but it's that time of year to start looking anyway. Not a bad thing.
No.
At least you had a good time fishing with them.
Oh, yeah. So let's take a run on outer space here. Go up to the Englewood Pier, Tom Adams Bridge.
Nighttime's been really, really good for some snook, some juvenile tarpon, and some big bull reds. And then during the daytime, it's mostly been some small snapper, an oddball pompano, and some Spanish mackerel. You know, it's not gangbusters, but most of the reports I'm getting are just for the snook and the juvenile tarpon. So, it's not bad.
No, not bad at all. Been seeing some pictures of some amazingly big trout. But before we get to that, what about Gilcrest Pier? Anything?
Just some jacks and some small snook in the early mornings and evenings. Right, mostly up against the seawall.
Okay. South Gulf Cove.
I haven't heard of anything this week, to be honest with you. Yeah. There were some redfish there last week, but nothing this week that I've heard any feedback on. Yeah. They were all right there at the entrance of Cattle Dock.
Well, going out to the Gulf of Mexico, what's going on out in the Gulf?
Well, Red Grouper and AJ's are closed, so that's making it a little aggravating for some of the guys. But the good news is now you don't have to run out as far because of the mangrove snapper, the grunts, Spanish mackerel, all that stuff's been doing good at, you know, 7 to 15 miles out. Even been a few lanes and vermilion still going on out there.
Jeez. Sorry, my computer went crazy on me.
The kings have heard a couple oddballs here and there, but I'd say that we're getting closer and closer with each day. After this cold front comes through next week, we should start to see maybe a few more kings moving in closer to shore. Most of the guys that are finding bait out there in about that 50 feet, 60 feet of water is where they're starting to see the cigar minnows and thread fins and other varieties of bait fish. So I'd assume that's probably going to be the magic number come by the end of next week when that water temperature drops a little bit. You know, it's not going to dump hard, but it's going to be cool nights. It's supposed to get into the upper 60s or something for like 3 days.
Yeah.
Sometime like starting Monday or Tuesday, so that should help that Gulf temperature drop down at least a couple degrees. They're not calling for major winds that I'm aware of yet, so it's hard to say how cool it'll get that Gulf to drop. But each day, it's just a little bit more and a little bit more, which is good.
Right. Now, I've been... let me get on here. I'm going to go on to the website here on fishandfranks.com and I'm just checking the forecast here to see. Yeah, we're looking at highs in the mid-80s and lows in the mid to upper 60s for the rest of the week, so that's going to be really cool.
Right.
That's going to change that water temp a lot. And speaking of water temp, come down here to the bottom of the page. Pensacola's at 73.6.
Wow.
So that's doing really good. St. Pete's still at 84. Key West at 84. Let's see. Usually Naples is right here too. Pensacola, Cedar Key, St. Pete. Naples, not available. That's why it wasn't there.
Key
West
at 84
and St. Pete at 84, you pretty much figure we're about 84.
Right, about 84.
Yeah, I'd say we're pretty close to that. Although it's weird how a while back we were having so much storms come in here.
Right.
The Gulf temp was actually cooler out by us than it was
in
north.
Weird climates.
So, but, you know, finally Pensacola is seeing low 70 water temps, and that's going to make those kings kind of start bunching up to start thinking, because 68 to 72 is their prime. That's what they really like. So as that cooler water starts coming south, it's going to collect the fish.
Right.
And if it happens, hopefully very gradually over the next few weeks, it's going to put a massive amount of kings. All the other pelagics will all be following that south. So I would say in the next 2 to 3 weeks, we could be looking at some phenomenal fishing if the weather holds.
That'll be awesome. That's always something fun to look forward to.
Yeah. Well, as long as I'm on here, I'm going to go down to the bottom of the weather and tides page and check the Peace River. I haven't looked at it was at 10 feet last time I looked. Wow. It's down to about 7.5.
No kidding.
So that's good. It was up.
Wow.
The high it got was at 14.5.
Yeah, it got up there.
So it's down to 7.5, so the water, it is getting better. The water is dropping on the Peace River.
Perfect.
So that's going to be good. All right.
Water will start to clear up and clean up a little bit more. That's a good thing.
You heard anything about Harbor Heights up there?
Nothing. Nothing at all, to be honest.
Anything up under... how about... let's do Hobbs Point, Pirate Harbor, Burnt Store, Two Pines.
Lots of redfish. I mean, the redfish are definitely by far the dominating species all along that whole area. Been hearing of a lot of juvenile tarpon and some jacks right at the very entrance of, basically at the entrance up to the first set of houses into Pirate Harbor. Haven't heard of much farther up inside, but that's pretty much the two main things I've been hearing about over there. The wade fishermen, the boat fishermen, they're all doing really good along that whole shoreline on the reds. Few incidental flounder and a few incidental pompano on that southern part from Burnt Store down to Two Pines.
This would be so much easier if I could actually type. you just said something about, what was that?
The wade fishermen and the boat fishermen doing right. Really good on those redfish, real good from South Burnt Store all the way down to Two Pines, but they're catching some oddball flounder and some oddball pompano along the top to outside edge of the bar there. Not consistent, but enough where it's a killer bycatch.
Cool. All right. Well, that's actually good news.
Yeah.
I'm happy to hear that part of it.
Yeah.
Jumping back up the river, because it's kind of alphabetical, trying to do the fishing reports both and simultaneously here. I-75.
A few black drum and a lot of juvenile tarpon. Other than that, it's been pretty quiet. Still that fresh water flowing down. Everyone's expecting it to be better, but that's kind of it.
Lashley Pier, this is going to be a quick report.
Yeah, pretty much a few small snook at night. And that's about it that I've heard of. I mean, even the day fishing has been pretty dismal.
Yeah, it's been pretty dismal there because when the rains start, it goes crazy there. But when the rains last too long and all that water coming down by October, it's pretty much, okay, we can do something else. The fish are going to go somewhere else, something else. Getting into Lemon Bay. What are we hearing about Lemon Bay?
Sick with redfish. I mean, unbelievably well. All the ends of the docks, any of the houses, any of the grass flats right now are holding some really unbelievable redfish. Most of them are oversized that I'm hearing about. Guys are really having to work to find that slot size fish. And then I've been hearing, that's the only place I've been hearing about with trout. No numbers, but better quality. They seem to be catching an occasional 20, 22 inch trout while they're drifting those flats looking for those redfish. And then there's also been a few snook moving around on those docks too, but most of them have been on the smaller size. It's kind of weird. We had that, 4 or 5, 6 week window where everyone was catching a ton of oversized snook. Now all of a sudden it's like the light switch went out and they disappeared, and now it's all little snook.
Oh, I gotta tell you, I mean, my whole thing is at the beginning of this year, the redfish were gone, they were extinct here, there was no redfish left, nothing, when the redfish
came
in, it was just, it was all over, there's never going to be a redfish here again, and, this has got this, and we got to do that, we got to put in no motor zones, and we're going to do this so that all the fish die in those no motor zones, and, and then all of a sudden now we have more redfish now than I've seen in 10 years.
Yeah. It's funky how it's literally...
And now the snook are doing it. All of a sudden we had so many...
Go from zero to hero, or like a blink of an eye. How does that
hero
work?
Hero to zero. I mean, huge snook, big snook, big snook, big snook, big snook, little snook.
Yeah. And it wasn't like a slow transition. It was literally like a hill wall.
Mm-hmm. I think they went where the redfish were.
Yeah. There you go. Where gnomes are hiding them.
Yeah. Yep, the fish fairies, they've got them. Ooh, look at that. We're going to hide our fish for a while.
Yeah.
No idea what happened. Matt Lachey. Let's talk Matt Lachey instead of fish.
Fish fairies.
Yeah. Good God. Let me have a life, please.
Matt Lachey, the only thing I've heard about is right around the immediate vicinity of Matt Lachey has been a lot of redfish and then some tarpon, both juveniles and adults. the juveniles seem to be more concentrated around those Cape Coral canals, and then the adults seem to be more out in the channel, but still very scattered. You know, the redfish have been good numbers and good quality sizes from literally the 16 inches to 30 inches.
Yeah, well, that was the thing we found the other day, too. I caught small redfish, literally juveniles, a couple of them that were maybe 16 and then an 18 or 19, and then I got it. And then we caught some in the right at the upper slot. So, yeah. I mean, we ended up keeping two 22-inchers.
Nice.
So it was just...
And that's the bizarre part. I mean, it's... You know, like you said, I mean, there was no redfish around, and then all of a sudden, they're everywhere. And the coolest part is that for the most part, they're assorted sizes from just right at the barely legal on the low side to oversized. You know, it's pretty amazing the quality on top of the quantity.
All right, let's head into the Myakka River system, tippy canoe, and the whole thing over there.
Most of the better fishing, honestly, has been right there around tippy canoe, and then the north entrance there into the Myakka cutoff for some nice redfish. They've been hit or miss though. 2 days there, 2 days gone. 1 day there, 4 days gone. They're just spotty, but when they're there, it's been killer. In the cutoff itself, I haven't heard a squat.
What's been going on in the river?
The river itself, there's been some tarpon in there. And it seems like the concentration gets a little bit better as you get closer to the Elgin Bean Bridge. And it's been an early morning bite and evening into the nighttime for those guys. That's the only place I've heard of a handful of legal snook also being caught there. A ton of little guys, but a few on the few that'll fit in the slot. Other than that, I haven't heard of anything else. The black drum kind of disappeared from over there because I haven't heard much from that at all. I don't know if you did over the past weekend or anything.
No, I've been going through nervous breakdowns. Haven't been paying attention to anything.
Yeah. Other than that, it's good. It's just not gangbusters.
Yeah.
But seeing that river being lower, that's a very impressive thing. The Myakka always seems to slow down on its flow a lot faster than the Peace River does. So you usually see that salinity pick up just a little tiny bit faster over there. And I don't know why, because it usually eddies, you know, out in front there with the Peace River dominating things, but
right.
It always seems to pick up a little bit faster there.
Well, how far up is it to Myakka State Park? How many miles do you think? 60?
By water?
No, by land.
Because
it's 100 miles basically to I-4. It's about half, three-quarters, of two-thirds of the way up.
Yeah, I'd probably put it about that 55 to 60.
Yeah, so then meandering the river, 80, 90 miles of river. I'd say another 30 miles of river.
What is it? It's exit. I can't remember what exit's on.
Yeah, but it's approximately 50 miles or so. So yeah, about 60, 80 miles of river after it winds around and comes back around. It
takes us about 50 minutes to get there.
So, all right, so we've got Redfish Pass, Captiva Pass, Bokerman Pass, Little Gasparilla Pass, Nump Pass, Venice, and, you know.
Pretty much every pass you can think of.
Yeah.
Yeah. The day fishing, I haven't heard a lot of guys fishing from shore, except for a few in the early mornings and the evenings. And those guys are going to get some big bull reds, a few flounder, and a few pompano. Still a few whiting, but the whiting report's been kind of quiet the past few, I don't know, probably over a month now. And then the guys have been doing well on the Spanish mackerel on those incoming tides. And the mangrove snapper have been doing well in Boca Grande, Captiva Pass, and Redfish Pass on those incoming tides. And I haven't heard anything off the jetties. I would imagine they're probably the same thing up there in Venice, because that's usually pretty happening for the snapper and the Spanish mackerel this time of year. I just haven't heard anything feedback-wise on them.
Anything in the Peace River system?
Gar and catfish, if you like those. Beautiful to see right now. I mean, the amount of birds up there is pretty incredible.
Really? I wouldn't have thought so much.
Had a guy in the other day, and he said it was just unbelievable. He saw a ton of the little blue herons and some of the...
Just going along the shorelines and stuff?
Yeah, he was just having a field day. Nothing in the rookeries or anything, but he said just along the shoreline, just the amount of wildlife he saw, it was pretty impressive.
Yeah.
And he said the red-shouldered hawks and the ospreys that he saw up there that day, he said it was the most hawks he's ever seen on one of his trips up there. He said it was a blast.
I've still got that one big hawk nesting in the tree next to my place. And he kind of comes and goes. I mean, they're there for a while, then they're gone, then they come back. But it's actually, they're an intense big old bird. Big.
Yes, they are.
Yeah, I mean, leaves big marks on the rocks below it, you know. All right, getting up in the Pine Island Sound.
Pine Island Sound is incredible right now. A lot of, basically a ton of redfish. Most of them are the upper slot to oversize. Any of the islands, any deeper grasses, Captiva rocks, all, I mean, basically it's just redfish pretty much scattered all over the place down there. And then the tarpon fishing has been pretty darn incredible too. Guys are just kind of drifting along the edges of the channel right there along the ICW, and then looking for, you know, same thing as we are up here. We're looking for the ladyfish. You're looking for some bait fish. Kind of get where it looks like there's some pretty good activity, and they're finding some nice tarpon in there too. A few Spanish mackerel on those incoming tides have been cruising up to the edges of those bars and those deep, I don't know, I guess they're still technically potholes even though they're the size of this building. You know, so just haven't heard much for sharks other than a few oddball bull sharks cruising around there. Most of them are in that 3-foot range. A couple of the wade fishermen have been having to chase a couple of them away from them.
I'm hearing a lot more about shark encounters on the flats, more so than what we used to hear about.
Yeah, a lot of nosy little bull sharks this year. I mean, because every one of them been like that 3-foot size from what I've been hearing from people.
3-4-footers, they're curious. They want to come up and find out what's going on.
Yeah.
Good thing is you can really smack them with a fishing pole and they're going to, you know, or even just slap the water real hard. But I usually find it's better to, you know, take and kind of poke them with the end of the rod, because if you smack the water real hard, it can trigger multiple different responses.
Yeah.
Because when
what was that? I'm going to eat it.
Yeah, when you smack the water real hard, sometimes they'll strike at the smack.
Yeah.
Because to them, it's a feeding thing or a threatening thing. And if you just poke them with the rod a little bit, that helps.
Definitely.
But, all right. Placida trussel.
Some big oversized redfish and a few legal snook at night. During the daytime, all I've heard about is an oddball flounder. Some Spanish mackerel and some very small mangrove snapper. Usually that place is a heck of a lot more consistent, but this past week has been kind of weird.
I gotta tell you, all I need is a new set of fingers and I could type like crazy. 6 more would help.
6 more fingers? Nice.
Yeah, because, I mean, if I'm going to keep making this many mistakes, I might as well make a lot more really fast.
Right?
Okay. Ponce de Leon, Punta Gorda, PGI.
The mouths of the canals are still a lot of tarpon, and then up inside, they're starting to have more tarpon moving up into the canals. Jacks have been sporadic throughout the whole system. A few snook, but mostly smaller size. And honestly, over at Ponce, the only thing I've really heard about has been a few black drum and some small mangrove snapper again moving back in. Other than that, haven't heard of a whole lot else of any significance.
Okay.
A couple guys have been wade fishing the beach there at Ponce and catching an oddball redfish, but even they've kind of gotten quiet. They're either catching good ones or they just aren't fishing it at all, because I haven't heard anything this 4 or 5 days.
Alright. Port Charlotte Beach, Port Charlotte Canals, spillways, anything going on?
All the mouths of the canals and up into the canals, there's still a lot of juvenile tarpon and some jacks. There's been some redfish still sporadically at the mouths of those canals, especially right there from the beach complex heading over towards Bayshore. And then there's been some black drum pretty consistently in East Spring Lake, Edgewater Lake, and the Elkham Waterway. And they're all those nice sized black drum. They're like those 20 to 25 pounders. There's not the giants, but just very good fun.
Okay. All right. And nothing going on in spillways? I haven't heard anything.
Nothing. I don't know if it's those new bridges change stuff or what.
Well, they did, because the fishing was a lot better in the canal system. But
I mean, right there at the spillways, something changed this year to make it.
But it did change. That's what we're saying. It did change a lot because the fishing through the canal systems has been better, but it changed a lot of the stuff right at the spillways
right
now. So
it's no longer concentrated right there.
Yeah, there seems to be something different with the water flow, because we have more jacks, black drum, a lot of the other fish all through the canal systems, but they don't seem to go to the spillways as much.
Right.
I don't know what happened. Where before they did all those changes to the spillways, the fish congregated at the spillways, but very little throughout the canal systems.
Right. Saturday was the first day I've seen a Saturday I saw my first chunk of hyacinth come down the canal. Usually in September and parts of October, I'm seeing, like, especially after a good heavy rain, you get the nice deluge of it for a couple days.
Right.
I only saw one nice chunk of it come by. It's kind of strange.
Huh.
A little out of character.
Getting the flies out of my coffee. Yeah, it's wonderful.
Yeah, added protein for your coffee.
Yes, at least it's not ants. I don't mind the flies so much, but the ants, they really bug me.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of either one of them in my food or drink. Yeah.
I'm old, I don't care. I'm going to outlive them.
Well, that's true. I mean, it doesn't bother me that bad, but I don't like either one of them personally.
All right, getting down to Ponderosa, Annabelle.
Ponderosa and Sanibel's been quiet. I haven't heard a whole lot. I'm hoping to hear some more by the end of the day, because Danny had like a huge corporate charter today that he's running like 15 or 18 boats down there. So I'll probably have some more positive feedback by Monday.
Okay. Yeah, I got to get on a couple of pages. I got to clean this one up. And have you heard about anything walking on the beaches, anything like that?
No, I mean, the weather's been so crappy with the winds blowing onto the beaches themselves that not a lot of guys have been fishing that hard from the beaches, I'm guessing. You know, this basically Tuesday was the first day it started to lay down, because a couple guys were offshore trying to get their last grouper in, and they said it was pretty bumpy going out.
Now, I haven't heard anything about the west side. What's going on the west side of the harbor?
If you move around a lot and pretend you're actually fishing for largemouth bass, it's very productive for redfish. Find those little creeks and moving water along the shoreline, and there's been some pretty good redfish. Been a few pompano and a few oddball redfish on top of the bar, but you just got to move a lot. No anchoring, just either drift it or trolling motor it and hit each spot just very meticulously. Guess Carl and Greg did really good the other day when they went down there, but it started to get really good as they headed south, and they were foul. They said it. They stayed with the fish as it was an outgoing tide. Those fish kept moving further and further south, and as long as they stayed along with that moving water, they did pretty good. But if they got too carried away and stayed behind it, it died pretty quickly.
And so it's a follow the tide thing.
Yeah, I think that would probably be more appropriate.
To Cape Hayes. Alright. Good God. It'd be so much simpler if I actually typed correctly the first time. What we got left is a bait report.
Bait report? I mean, honestly, I mean, I wouldn't waste my time with it. The only thing I would do is go get pinfish. You know, and the pinfish are still doing just about anywhere where there's grass flats, but all of Boquilla, Jug Creek, Devilfish, all around the Placida area, good consistent numbers of chummable, cast nettable pinfish. I just wouldn't make myself crazy messing with the whitebait because the guys aren't even talking about it, really.
No, everybody's using pinfish and shrimp or cut bait.
Yeah, the cut sardines and cut ladyfish have been working really well.
So, I know Jug Creek has got a bunch of pinfish. Where else?
All the Boquilla, all that whole north end of Boquilla, Devilfish, and all around Placida.
Okay. Yeah, it's been kind of interesting all overall to see what's been going on out in the harbor, but huge changes going on, lots of cool stuff.
Lots of really cool
stuff.
We're
going to kind of wrap up this area-wide fishing report. We're going to come back with some general fishing information and kind of get caught up on that. So anyway, thank you for helping me with our fishing report there, Robert.
Thank you.
And this is... Yes, Fishing Flink and Radio Fishing, and now that I'm not thinking, you know, the sky is falling and the IRS is gone, and I actually got my stuff, my payroll company did not pay my payroll taxes at the beginning of the year.
Did you get that straightened out?
Yeah, we finally got all the forms done for that, and I think good. I'm, at least for this week, done with government agencies trying to rule and ruin my life, you know.
Good.
So, but I got cleaned out of health from everybody. I'm just waiting on the fines from the Department of Revenue now. You know, but, you know, we'll get the fines in, pay them, and go from there. So, anyway, Fishing Frank here. Hopefully in a better, cheerier, happier frame of mind. And we're going to try and get Radio Fishing back on regular. And thank you guys very much for listening. We'll be back.